छन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजाता सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबन्धुर्जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा
वेलकम everyone for our drishti program. We have been discussing the vow of brahmacharya karmana manasa vacha sarva avastha su sarvada sarvatra maithuna tyago brahmacharyam prachakshate. The vow of brahmacharya is meant to help one completely abstain from sex indulgence in work, words and mind, at all times, under all circumstances and in all places. Now the question is, is our scripture anti-sex life? Well, this verse appears to be quite heavy, wherein one has to abstain in all circumstances, at all places, at all times, even in one's mind, what to speak of, action or words, one has to abstain from sex life. So herein, some of you said that no, scriptures are not anti-sex life. But then this verse, it gives a feeling like that. What do you say?
It's not possible for everyone to follow the vow of celibacy. And those who can't control their senses, for them regulated sex life is mentioned. Only for procreation.
Okay, so herein it's mentioned. Also Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kamosmi Bharatarshabha Dharma Viruddho. That which is not against the regulative principles. Krishna says, I am that sex life. So those who cannot control, the sexual urges. So which means that those few who can control their sexual urges, they are freed from lust. Those who can control their sexual urges, are they freed from lust? Or in other words, are all brahmacharis free from lust? And the other question is, are all grihasthas then totally suffused in lust? Now what do you say? Microphone. Are you understanding? Kya keh rahe hum? Samajh rahe hain aap log? Kaun hai pehli dafa aa rahe? First time kaun hai? First timers. Achha. क्या ब्रह्मचारी जो ये नियम का पालन करते हैं, क्या वो काम वासना से मुक्त हैं, या गृहस्थ जो कि गृहस्थ जीवन में इस क्रिया में लगते हैं, तो क्या वो काम वासना में लिप्त हैं? काम वासना से मुक्त, काम वासना में लिप्त, समझ में आया? बोलिए.
We are the brahmacharya. You mentioned that we are not free from lust. We have some lust in our mind, but Prabhupada said it's like putting ghee into a fire. To the degree we satisfy lust, it creates more desire. It creates greed for that. So Prabhupada once said, we are not perfect, but we are on the path of perfection.
Okay, so if lust is like fire, काम वासना यदि अग्नि के समान है, तो सेक्स लाइफ क्या है? ईंधन के समान. अग्नि और ईंधन क्या कॉम्बिनेशन है? पेट्रोल और अग्नि है ना, दोनों की जोड़ी, मेड फॉर ईच अदर बोलेंगे ना. पेट्रोल और अग्नि मेड फॉर ईच अदर है. सेक्स लाइफ, सेक्सुअल एक्ट और लस्ट मेड फॉर ईच अदर हो गया कि नहीं? तो यदि किसी को सेक्स लाइफ अपना बरकरार रखना है, तो उसको क्या करना पड़ता है? अग्नि को यदि जलाए रखना है, तो उसको क्या करना पड़ेगा? पेट्रोल डालते रहना पड़ेगा, पेट्रोल डालते रहना पड़ेगा, है कि नहीं? एक बार एक बूढ़ा व्यक्ति डॉक्टर के पास गया. ओल्ड मैन वेंट टू अ डॉक्टर, जस्ट रूटीन चेकअप. सो डॉक्टर, एवरीथिंग इज ओके? ही सेड, यस डॉक्टर, एवरीथिंग इज फाइन. ओनली प्रॉब्लम आई एम फेसिंग इज व्हेनेवर आई एंगेज इन सेक्स विथ माय वाइफ फर्स्ट टाइम, आई फील very hot, sweaty, I sweat, but then the second time I feel cold. Doctor was confused. I don't know, maybe I'll consult and let you know. A month later the wife came to the same doctor of this man. So you know, just a side question he asked. The other day your husband had come and he mentioned something like that. So she said, oh, that old fart. The first time he engages in sex life is in the month of June. And the second time he engages in sex life is in the month of Jan. So that's the reason he feels like that. कोई बात नहीं, आपको समझ में नहीं आया. सो द पॉइंट इज दैट द मैन वॉज लूजिंग ऑन द एंथुजियाज्म इन दैट पर्टिकुलर एक्ट. ओके, नाउ इफ आई आस्क यू दैट यू आर ऑल यंग ब्लड सिटिंग ओवर हियर, यू ऑल had your lunch today, You must have had some evening snack also. And you know that there is going to be dinner. In between your evening snack and dinner, if something is offered, is it possible that you can have that also? Ki doubt hai. Is it possible you can have something in between your evening snack and your upcoming dinner? You can. Although you know that there will be dinner. You know, like they say starters. So there are the starters. You know what is the concept behind the starters? Starters, if somebody is not having an appetite initially, so the appetite increases when something delectable is offered before the main meal. And then, you know, it's more on the subtle platform that the mind and, of course, you know, the taste buds, and then comes on the biological platform that starts activating your system to get into the groove. Because if someone has not engaged in eating for many hours, for him to directly jump into the main meal would be difficult. So therefore, there is something in between. That's they call the starters. So similarly, any urge in our body, there is a capacity to keep accommodating more and more and more. Of course, there is a saturation point. But then, at a certain point of time, we human being, we try to extend our saturation point. Why? Because we have a mind which we use so much as against the other species. So right now, as you all said, that in between your evening snack and your upcoming dinner, you can still accommodate some treat in between. That's the mind. Your body is not requiring it. अचानक यहां पर ये सब बंद करके हमने पाव भाजी का स्टॉल लगा दिया. And from here you look down that the khichdi stall is also getting set up. But as you are having your pav bhaji, your mind is somehow adjusting to the khichdi also when you go down. That's what happens with the other senses also. That's what happens with sex life also. Not required, but okay, let's adjust. Now, I'm going to throw a kind of an equation in front of all of you. And let's see that what are your takes on that. The equation is, what is unhealthy for us in our human form of life? If this question is asked, how will you define what is unhealthy for us? Say, if we human beings will look at a pig, the lifestyle of a pig, you all are aware, pig? Now, we can't even imagine to live even for 5 minutes what the pig lives for its entire life in filthy, dirty cesspools, or you know, these sewers or gutters, eating all of that filth, human refuse or anyone's refuse. That's like, you know, the day in and day out, that's the diet, that's the lifestyle. You know, now we human beings, we are so careful. Even the water we drink has to be purified. And the pig is just very healthily going on drinking all sorts of water from anywhere and everywhere. And what to speak of that, the pig or the swine, another name for pig is swine, the swine is least bothered while we human beings are swine flu, swine flu, swine flu. So much worried. So, the point over here is that if you ask the pig or if you try to counsel a pig, see, living in gutters whole day is not healthy. You should come out and do some pranayama. You should come out, you know, you should live a hygienic life. What is this? All filthy life. And as far as eating, you know, if you preach, you know, that you should become a vegetarian, the pig will look at you, I am a vegetarian. No, but not that kind of vegetarian, you know, like not the recycled vegetables. You should have organic. You should chant Mahaprasadi. So the pig, he will say, oh, what's the problem? You know, I am healthy. Yeah? I am perfectly healthy. I don't have to visit to doctors for, you know, some backache or neck pain or constipation. Yeah? You guys are constipated and that, you know, takes a toll on my meals. So I don't have all those problems. So the question is, if the pig appears to be healthy, according to our standards, we would die if somebody would try to imitate a pig. So the question is, how do you define what is unhealthy? To indulge in something which our body is not metabolized for. Very nice. Quite to the point. Can you elaborate? Some specifics? Can you mention some specifics? Like what? Press till the green comes. Okay, speak loudly.
Everything we can consider sexual life also. We can consider sexual life also. There are many species of birds which they used to have sex near about 10 to 20 times daily, but human body is not metabolized for that.
Yeah, pigeons. Pigeons can have 60 times in a day.
And still they are.
Any Bollywood hero can match? A pigeon can have 60 times in a day. Yes, you
still they are, and still they are disease free. But if we human beings will try to, you know, imitate them.
And by the way, pigeons, you know, they don't take Shilajit.
But we are not metabolized or designed for that. If we even cross 5 times a daily, we will be suffering from lots of diseases.
Even what? We?
We will be suffering from
lots of diseases.
Impotency diseases also.
Okay. Is anyone going to die without engaging in sex? Have you heard? This person, he died because he followed celibacy. This person died because he was not engaging or she was not engaging in sex life. The reason of death, postmortem karne ke baad. Too much of semen inside. You have something to say?
Thank you. Now the pig, it is its requirement to survive, so he are doing the job. Because we cross his
body. So I got your point that it's subjective.
Yes, subjective.
That it depends on species to species, even amongst human beings. Yes, what equation I want to present, it's even closer to that. Nice point. It's subjective. Yes. Anything else? Yes, Shivang. Yeah. Just wait for the mic. Hand over the mic.
If we generalize this thing, anything in excess is unhealthy, or anything below par is also unhealthy.
Yeah. So the equation over here which I want to present is, anything which is unnecessary is unhealthy. Very simple to remember. Unnecessary will be unhealthy. Some examples now. Things or whatever, actions,
fast food,
overeating, fast food, anything which is unnecessary.
Intoxication.
That is unnecessary, is unhealthy. Yeah. Sugar. Excess of sugar. Sugar se mujhe yaad hai. Now, this was some years ago in Maharashtra. We have sugar cane. This is the season going on, sugar cane production. So this was some years ago, many years ago. The sugar factories, they were having excess sugar production. And you know, sugar is produced from sugar cane, the juice, sugar cane juice, the molasses. So molasses is like, if you say it's the residue, you know, the residual of the production of sugar. So this excess of molasses, they were wondering what to do of this. Why not use it in some way? So they started producing liquor from the molasses. And all these different areas where sugarcane was grown and the sugar factories and the molasses, you know, so those areas. So the molasses was used to produce liquor. Now if you are producing liquor, then you need to have customers, because you have produced it to make money. So then they started to market cheap liquor, because otherwise how will you sell and dispose of whatever you have produced? So it was a little cheaper. Because it was cheaper, more customers. More customers, then the farmers were told the next year to grow more sugar cane, because herein the customers are increasing. So we need now that surplus molasses, which was unplanned. It was unplanned. Now, next year, it was planned. The surplus molasses was planned the next year. Why? Because the customers, so the rates increased. Customers were still now hooked on to, because liquor is something which is addictive. So they wanted the kind of liquor which was produced from that. So then, a few years down the line, these customers, which means drunkards, basically. Customers means drunkards. So these drunkards, as they were heavily engaged into drinking, they started to fall sick. Liver problems. Liquor, liver. That's what? Again, made for each other kind of thing. So, liver problems. So, now, wherever they were, you know, all these provinces, some of the remote provinces of Maharashtra, some not so remote provinces of Maharashtra. So, because of now excess liver patients, the hospitals were falling short of beds. So the government thought, let's increase the hospitals. So they started to make more and more hospitals. More hospitals means more doctors. So for doctors, more medical colleges. For more doctors. So medical colleges. And you know, then the entire admin is required for that particular college. So you need more of the administrative staff also, which means, you know, the MBAs and the others, you know, so we require them also to run these medical colleges. And of course, whatever is going on in the medical colleges, you manufacture doctors from there for these hospitals, which is to cater extra hospitals, which is to cater to excess of what? The patients who have drunk so much of liquor. And this is how the economy is increasing. This is how we are increasing the economy. From where it all started? Unnecessary surplus, which was unnecessarily used, or rather misused. As against this, we have in Ramayana, Lord Ram instructing to Bharat in Chitrakoot, Ram Bharat Milap. So Lord Ram is asking Bharat, Bharat, you have come to take me. Tell me something. You want me or you want Ram Rajya? Ram chahiye ya Ram Rajya chahiye? Bharat kehte dono. Ramchandri ji kehte hain, main yadi wahan par hoon, और मेरी नीतियों का पालन नहीं हो रहा तो राम होने के बावजूद राम राज्य नहीं है और यदि मैं वहां पर नहीं मौजूद लेकिन मेरी नीतियों का पालन हो रहा है तो राम न होने के बावजूद भी राम राज्य रहेगा. मेनी थिंग्स लॉर्ड राम टोल्ड टू भरत. वन ऑफ द थिंग्स ही सेड दैट ऑलवेज यू मेक श्योर दैट द स्पिरिचुअल एक्टिविटीज विच विल गो ऑन इन अयोध्या, you should encourage the spiritual practices. Like, there will be grahasthas who would want in their homes yajnas to be performed regularly, frequently, like graha pravesh or vivas yajna or whatever. So all these yajnas, they will require purohits and samagri. Yajna will have samagri, like you need wood, you need a pot, you need ghee, you need all those other items, ingredients for yajna. So which means the more of these yajnas will be performed in Ayodhya, the more these agencies which will provide the ingredients for the yajna, they will increase in their business. Like, you know, say for example, mobile phone. So now the manufacturing of mobile is done by, say, XYZ company, Samsung or whatever, you know, they manufacture mobiles. And now there are so many users, not practically, everyone has a mobile. If you do not have a mobile, you are non-existent. Who are you? Nobody knows. So everyone uses a mobile. Now you see that how many corollary businesses have started based on that one product. Huh? Skin guard, scratch guard. Hai na? Now that company doesn't manufacture scratch guard. Other companies, okay, so iPhone or Samsung or whatever, you know, Nokia. So they are manufacturing a certain model. And then these companies, corollary companies, they'll manufacture these, they are called accessories. So they'll manufacture the accessories. You know, so there is a scratch guard manufacturing company. So scratch guard manufacturing company khadi kis balbute pe hui? Waha par jitna vyavasay chal raha hai us company mein, buniyad kya hai? This. You understanding the logic? Then, you know, there are what is that called? Security hota na? Huh? Antivirus, yeah. Antivirus and phone security. Basically, the entire security of your phone, if it gets stolen, you know, and there is a virus inside, your phone hangs or anything, if it breaks. So there is another agency which is flourishing based on this main agency. It's the same logic. But then what's happening is that everything in this loop is connected to materialistic activity. Lord Ram, it's the equation of Lord Ram which he gave to Bharat. He said, just change the object, make it spiritual, which means all the agencies will be spiritual. The other day, one of our congregation members was showing me that nowadays they have home delivery of yajna items. All details, you know, if you want to perform a yajna, just call them, just like, you know, Domino's home delivery. Garpot. You just call them, okay. One cheese, pepperoni, margherita. आधे घंटे में सर पहुंच जाएगा. खुशियों का वादा. So like that. So now why, you know, these home delivery things are booming up? Because of the demand. What is the very classic principle of economics? The supply is according to the demands. So, you know, I found that why that particular thing, you know, puri yajna ki samagri, uska list nikal ke rakha hai. Aap ek call karo, puri samagri aapke ghar pahunch jayegi. Purohit ke saath. So why those agencies, they started that business? Because they saw that still it's 2015, Kali Yuga, people are still performing yajna in spite of PK. People are still performing yajnas. Now they might not be spiritual. In fact, the owner of the agency might be an atheist. He might not believe in yajna or whatever. He might consider all of that as a humbug. But as long as I am making money, you know, so that's business. Now herein, Lord Ram is making this connection that if you encourage spiritual practices, then your economy of Ayodhya will increase based on spirituality. The economy will be based on spiritual practices. Yadi yajna ke liye unko matke chahiye, to wo kumbhar ke paas jayenge. Jitne zyada yajna honge, utne zyada matke lagenge. Kumbhar ka business utna zyada chalega. Aajkal yajna koi karta nahi hai, to ye log sab out of business hai. Phir ye log karte kya hai? Ye log जाते बंबई जैसे शहर में, वहां पे कॉल सेंटर में बैठ जाते हैं. उनको पूछो, भाई तुम्हारा खानदान क्या क्या करता था? मटके बनाए करते थे. किसके लिए? यज्ञ इत्यादि के लिए. अभी कोई यज्ञ करता नहीं है, मटकों की जरूरत नहीं है इत्यादि, तो फिर हम लोग यहाँ पे कॉल सेंटर में फोन रिसीव कर रहे हैं. कहां से? यूएस, यूके, ऑस्ट्रेलिया, इनका सब फोन रिसीव कर रहे हैं रात रात भर काम करके. सो यू सी, the point which I am making is, aapke sugar se aaye yaad, that unnecessary, what is our equation? Anything which is unnecessary becomes unhealthy. And our bodies are also made in a similar way. Whatever is there in our body, it's all very much precisely required for our survival. There is nothing unnecessary. It is required for our survival, and therefore that's how this particular, the bodily institution works. And if you expand this, then any institution or any society, human society for say, we will discuss that. Wherever there is unnecessary things going on, you will always find unhealthy result. Anything else on this? On this equation, you are understanding this equation? So sex life now. We are on this verse. So sex life, when it is required for few people at a certain point of time, it is allowed. That's it. But as far as this vow of brahmachari is concerned, this is for everyone, even for the grahasthas. It's not that it's not meant for grahasthas. Like I heard very funny thing, one person was telling his wife that, you know, these four regulative principles are only for brahmacharis. Grahasthas, they are allowed, they have the license because they are grahasthas. So therefore they are allowed. Prabhupada very strictly said, even if you are married, don't think that your wife is a sex machine. Don't think your wife is a sex machine. So therefore, we have to understand the importance that this practice of brahmacharya is not simply that, okay, you know, if I don't indulge in sex life, I'll be relieved of sexually transmitted diseases. There'll be no syphilis in me. There'll be no gonorrhea in me. Forget about AIDS. You know, I'll be free of STD. I remember first time when I went to UK. So I had to make a phone call to India. So I didn't know. So I asked, you know, the host, do you have STD? Now I didn't realize that, you know, this term STD is in India only. So the point is that we are not practicing brahmacharya just to remain healthy. We are not proposing to practice brahmacharya just so that I don't want the hassles of the bill payments after that act. You know? So, nahin. So you know, Mayavadi principle is like that. Khayenge nahi, to stool hi nahi banega. That is Mayavadi principle. You know, if you are abhorring stool, stop eating. No eating, no stool. But herein, we are having this understanding that we want. All of these things are byproducts. We were discussing, you know, the benefits of brahmacharya. They are all byproducts. We want undivided focus on our main goal. What is that? The main goal is to realize our true self and to purify our true self. That's the main goal. So if anything which comes in the way of my achieving the true goal, that's called true renunciation, to give that up. Are you all with me?
Yes.
Okay. So the 8 prohibitions for a celibate, we had taken this verse, Smaranam Kirtanam Keli Prekshanam Guhya Bhashanam. Thinking about women, speaking about sexual enjoyment, flirting, looking lustfully, talking intimately, fantasizing, endeavoring. And finally, eighth is engaging. So someone might think, oh my God, this is, which means you are saying even thinking is breaking the principles of celibacy, because certain psychologists like Sigmund Freud and all, so they say that you know, it's a very dangerous concept which he proposes, Sigmund Freud. So he's saying that imagining about sex life is better than engaging in sex life. Nahi samajh mein hai? Logic nahi samajh mein hai na? So he's saying, if somebody physically engages in the sexual act, there is a high point which is called orgasm. So there is the orgasmic point. After that, you know, it appears to be distasteful for both the parties. So Sigmund Freud is saying that if you regularly keep engaging in sexual act, and if one day you focus on the distaste, it's called the after distaste. You know, you have the aftertaste of something. So he calls it the after distaste of sex life. In fact, our Niti Shastra also mentions that the different kinds of vairagya, like there is a smashan vairagya. So there is, you know, vairagya when you visit a smashan bhumi. You know, when you see bodies burning and everyone crying, and you just saw the person living a day before, and then you are seeing the person totally flat dead, and then the person, you know, I visited one funeral ceremony like that, and I was performing kirtan. It was in Bombay. I was performing kirtan, and I knew this devotee, and this devotee, in fact, this devotee's mother. So this devotee's mother passed away, and she was taken, and you know, her eyes were closed, and they had put camphor and some ghee on the eyes, and the first thing, you know, they lit the eyes, you know. Oh, that was like first time I saw something like that, you know, that you still, you can't connect that the soul has left, you know, the body is still there, it's not decomposed yet, and you know, the eyes are lit on fire, and you know, so many things happen. So it's called smashan vairagya. Another vairagya is when you eat a sumptuous meal, immediately after eating that, you are totally detached from the same meal. Bas ho gaya. Le jao isko yahan se. Kyun? Kyunki idhar full ho gaya. And the third is immediately after discharging semen, the man, he becomes a sannyasi for 2 minutes. So Sigmund Freud is saying that the more a person engages physically in the sexual act, if by mistake he contemplates on the after distaste, he will start to renounce it. Why? People, they keep engaging and they keep engaging, and again they want to engage because they don't focus on this after distaste. Or rather, they don't want to focus on this after distaste. And the entire society all around, they are saying, hey, never focus on that after distaste. That is unhealthy for your progress. Yeah, you know, this was in the European Union. One of the things which they implemented to boost up the economy of their countries is people, you know, there was this era wherein people were divorcing so much and the families were breaking apart. So they realized that the impetus for a man to work is the family. And families were breaking apart, so therefore there was no impetus for the family, for the man to work for. Kiske liye kaam karu main? Hai nahi koi. Kutta hai. Kiske liye kaam karu? So they started to connect the dots. That people are losing their enthusiasm to slog hard in our companies because they don't have any impetus at home. Jaise hum dekhte na Bharat mein bichara pati kaam kyon kar raha hai itna office ke andar, factory ke andar ya business mein jahan par bhi, kyunki ghar aane ke baad wo dekhta hai char bachche hain, paanch bachche hain, unka school ka fees hai, phir biwi ki saadiyan hain, phir kirana hai, phir ye hai wo hai, sab pura list ready rehta hai. लेके आए कि नहीं घर से, वो बाजार से सब कुछ लेकर आए कि नहीं, तो ये सब उसके फिर उधर जाके ज्यादा काम करना पड़ता है, फिर लिस्ट वापस सुबह सुबह बीवी दे देती है कि ये भी लेके आना नहीं तो कुछ मिलेगा नहीं. तो लिस्ट देखता है काम करता है, लिस्ट देखता है काम करता है, इम्पेटस. अभी बीवी नहीं है, बच्चे नहीं है, कुछ नहीं, लिस्ट नहीं है, तो उन्होंने देखा काम क्यों करेंगे ये लोग. सो देयरफॉर दे स्टार्टेड टू give orientation seminar that how family life is so important, you should have, you know, a loving relations with you know, your spouse, you should have a spouse first, you know, like that. So finally that all didn't work, so what they started to do, sex life. What is that one impetus for a man, you know, sex life? When he comes back from a tiring office work, office day, you know, working day, when he gets back, you know, so to relieve his tension and his stress, sex life. So they started to promote sex life. And therefore, how to promote sex life? So they started to have attractive receptionists at the workplaces. Seductive receptionists at the workplaces, and here and there they would have, you know, the atmosphere created in such a way, you know, the sounds and the music and the forms, all of that, and the food and everything would be aphrodisiac. What is aphrodisiac? That which increases one's appetite for sex. So people, you know, they wouldn't realize that what's happening. How are they becoming, you know, while working on the computer, why are they becoming so lusty? Now, you know, they are seeing sense objects all around them. It's called, in the language of psychology, it's called NLP. You know about NLP? Neuro-linguistic programming. There is a thing called subliminal effect. Subliminal effect means that you are not conscious of something which is being thrusted in your consciousness. Like certain restaurants, they have this system, the subliminal effect. They have certain music which they play in their restaurants. That when the customer goes to that restaurant and keeps listening to that music, because it's played for everyone. So that music has such an effect in a subliminal way, subconsciously, that the customer orders only certain kinds of items from the menu card, which are the costliest ones. And they don't realize that, why did I order that? It's a very subtle science. It's called neuro-linguistic programming. So you might be thinking, well, I'm just going to my college. And I'm dressed nicely. I am chanting Hare Krishna. I have taken my khichdi prasadam in the morning, offered to Krishna. Mahaprasade bol ki khake niklao main. And I'm just looking at my professor, who is having no seductive qualities to seduce me. But then, all of a sudden, after a few hours in your college, you realize, why am I thinking about something else other than the professor? Because people around you are not practicing celibacy. Huh? Are they? Naina? आप गुरुकुल में तो जाके नहीं बैठते कि वहां पे गुरुजी सारे नैष्ठिक के ब्रह्मचारी इसको बता रहे हैं नहीं. सो द वाइब्रेशंस फ्रॉम ऑल ऑफ देम दे मेक द सबलिमिनल इफेक्ट ऑन यू. Okay, so the point which we were making of Sigmund Freud, he says, imagining about sex life. So, in imagination, he says, one can go to any extent. He says, one can have multiple orgasms in imagination. He can engage unlimitedly in imagination. Physically, when one goes, there are limitations. Because your physical body, it knows and it gives you indication. Now it's unnecessary. Huh? Just like when you eat too much, keep eating, your stomach, how your stomach from inside, it gives you indication, belch. क्या बोलते हैं ढकार. ढकार आता है ना, वो ढकार है क्या, वो अंदर से पेट कह रहा है बस हो गया. So you know, very thoughtful, this Sigmund Freud. He says that physically when you engage in sex life, your body gives up and your body is telling, now no more, it's not required. Unnecessary. You'll fall sick. Unhealthy. But in imagination, there is no limit to anything when it comes to fantasizing or imagining. Or thinking. Therefore, you know, in the Western world, they say that how is old age defined in the Western world? Old age is that age wherein you can't physically engage in your carnal pleasures or delights. You just meditate on them. You meditate. Go in reminiscing about them, ruminating about them. Huh? Wo mere jawani ke din. I was like a black stallion. Look at me now. I've become an old fart. Don't worry. We had a batchmate who was married, and he had this habit of bird watching. You know bird watching? So he was very good at bird watching. Aankhein sekna. आंखों को सेकने में बहुत माहिर था वो, शादीशुदा। तो उसको हमने पूछा, तेरे को एक बीवी है, शर्म नहीं आती है? उसका एक फिलॉसफी था, उसका लॉजिक क्या था उस फिलॉसफी का? लुकिंग एट द मेनू कार्ड इज नॉट ऑर्डरिंग द आइटम। वी आर नॉट गिविंग यू एनी हिंट्स हियर, ओके? कोई पूछेगा क्या सीखा दृष्टि में, क्या सीखा? हमारा एक घंटे के लेक्चर में एक पॉइंट टेक होम मैसेज क्या था? लुकिंग एट द मेनू कार्ड इज नॉन चार्जेबल, यू आर नॉट चार्ज्ड, इसलिए उसका नाम दृष्टि, इसलिए इसका नाम दृष्टि नहीं दिया हमने। So, you know, it might appear that, you know, other things are, you know, not so serious in nature, you know, like thinking about women, how can you stop? They're all over, they're all around. Right now, there are no women over here, but still, you are talking so much about them. I'm just thinking about them only since 1 hour. Adidas, याद है? All day I dream about sex. Adidas. Speaking. Now, how much people take pleasure in talking about that, discussing that, you know? All the, you know, those books which are available, which describes, you know, that how this pornography books and all that, that how this particular act is done in a very delightful way. So, you know, discussing about that. Hopes, gives hopes. Then of course, looking lustfully, talking intimately, flirting, you know. Now this has become a trend nowadays. Flirting. That flirting means no commitment. And you know, boys and girls nowadays, they kind of... they confirm also, you are flirting only, na? Yeah, I am flirting only. Achha, I am also flirting. Nothing serious, only flirting. So what is all this, you know, bringing us to? Bringing us to living a life lower than animals. Living a life lower than animals. What to speak of endeavoring for sex. In fact, for a materialistic person like Hiranyakashipu, his focus was Hiranya and then culminating in Kashipu. Hiranya means money. Kashipu means soft bed. Soft bed for what? Sex life. So that is the focus. And finally, then engaging, and then it goes on and on and on. So the five arrows of Cupid, these are the famous invisible five arrows of Cupid: fascination, stupefaction, intoxication, burning, enslavement. So it begins with fascination. In fact, the female form has been designed by Lord Brahma Vidhata in such a way to somehow or the other fascinate to somehow or the other fascinate the external senses and the mind. So if you just use your fleshy eyes will be fascinated by the beautiful form of a woman. Therefore, our scriptures, they say that, you know, the film which you have to put inside the camera, the lens might be the same, the eyes, but what should be inside, you know, the software. Scriptures, it changes the software. The hardware remains the same. The software is changed. And which is more important? Of course, the hardware is also important, but the software. So what the scriptures, what are we doing in these drishti programs? We are, your eyes will remain the same. So yahan par eye clinic hum log khol ke aapke eyes ko kuch alag nahi banane wale ki ab tum bahar ja ke jab in aankhon se kuch dekhoge to tumko khali hard mass dikhega. Not that we are giving you some x-ray vision that you will see all women in your college as skeletons walking around. What is drishti? Changing the software of your existence. So which means to stop at the first arrow itself, fascination. Because whatever then follows behind fascination is just a detail of, you know, when a man becomes history. So, the arrow of contemplation, when a man is fascinated by the female form, the first glance is innocent, the second glance is captivating, and the third is victimizing. Now, you know, when we categorize like this, three glances, and you might be thinking, Prabhuji, aap to teen ki baat kar rahe ho, 300 ho gaye. Which means that the consistency of being victimized remains after the third glance. Like our Thursday program, KK Vag, yesterday we were talking about taste. That in Krishna consciousness, you may come out of curiosity, and you may get convinced because of knowledge, but you will stay only when you taste it. Are you getting the point? You will stay in Krishna consciousness only when you taste Krishna consciousness. Now, our human body is designed in such a way that we as tiny toddlers, we developed our taste buds, is it not? We were all surviving on Cerelac, Farax and this baby food. Now, we don't even think about it. Anytime you miss your Cerelac, you don't even remember having it because your taste buds, your taste has increased. And in fact, anything you do in this world, you have to sustain yourself. You can sustain yourself only if there is taste. If there is no taste, you can't sustain. Like, you know, the European Union, they realize that if we want the economy to boom, we need to give our people taste. If there is no taste, there is no impetus to come, no enthusiasm. Enthusiasm comes because of taste. And then, when you keep continuing to experience that taste and to maintain that taste, just like, you know, any eatery, when they want to sell something, they maintain their taste. They have standards for that. Why? Because their customers are hooked on, say, Coca-Cola. They don't reveal the formula of how Coca-Cola was made the first time. Nobody knows till this date. Why? Because, and you know, every particular Coca-Cola manufacturing company, wherever it is, in whichever country, the standard is the same. Because the customers, if you want the customers to come again and again and pick up that bottle, they will always connect to the previous one, the taste which they had. Is it the same taste? Yes. So which means in Krishna consciousness also, the formula remains the same. Hearing, chanting, following four principles, having a disciplined life, the formula remains the same. We, as tasters of Krishna consciousness, we have to maintain the consistency of our taste. Then only we can go on. So then we'll see some famous victims. You must have heard about them. But then since we are on this point of how it has this snowball effect, the first, the second, the third glance, having the snowball effect. So we have the first example of the victim, Saubari Muni. Saubari Muni was such a Muni that he was performing austerities under Jamuna. Not, you know, some Hawaii beach or, you know, some Thailand beach. He was performing austerities under Jamuna in Brajamandal. And he saw fishes. Now fishes mating. Does that make sense? That he became lusty upon seeing fishes mating. Over here, we have to understand that everyone in this material world has dormant lust. And Maya Devi, she sends some impetus or sparks to ignite that fire of lust which is there inside. And it could be through anything or anyone or any place, circumstance, here in fishes. It wouldn't make sense to us, but for Saubari Muni, the only thing which he had to gratify his lust was fishes inside. The point over here is that even if you are surrounded by water all around you and there is no human being, you are the only one, you have controlled yourself to such an extent that you don't even require air to breathe. But if there is no higher taste, he didn't have the higher taste. Something so lowly as fishes mating could make him a victim. So yes, listening to Drishti classes or reading some book on Brahmacharya or you know, trying to follow a strict regimen and then you go out, I am ready, I can face anyone. And then sometimes you find that there is no sense object in front of you and all of a sudden, you know, you are getting that urge and you are feeling that I am missing out on that. Why it is happening? Because you are not focusing on the higher taste or you are not tasting the param drishtva which Krishna is talking in the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, there are other reasons also. Saubari Muni had offended Garudji. That was, Krishna took the taste away. Whatever little taste he had in his austerities and power which he had, took away. The second victim, Vishwamitra Muni. Okay, here in Saubari Muni, he saw fishes, which appears to be a little difficult to comprehend. Here, Vishwamitra Muni, eyes closed, performing his austerities, heard some ankle bells. So what he did, just like Saubari Muni connected those fishes, he didn't go and marry the fishes, Saubari Muni. He came out and he married his own species. Saubari Muni, when he heard the ankle bells, he connected. How our lust inside also does the same thing. It connects the dots. That, okay, ankle bells means, ye to kisi स्त्री के पायलों की आवाज है. तो आंख खोलने से पहले विश्वामित्र मुनि मेनका से आकर्षित हो गए थे, देखने से पहले. आप लोगों को लगा होगा कितना सच्चा प्यार किया है ना. सो लस्ट इज लाइक दैट. It doesn't require a complete female form to entice. Anything in connection with that opposite sex can create it. So one has to be so careful. The sound vibration, the sight. Herein we have the third example, Ravana, who was lust personified. How can we miss out on Ravan? So Ravan, as we always say, that Ravan, in spite of seeing Sita, didn't endeavor to kidnap Sita until Ravan heard the sensual description from Surpanakha. What incited the lust within. Therefore, in our scriptures it is mentioned that more dangerous than encountering the opposite sex, more dangerous than that is to associate with someone who is attracted by women. How? Because the person who is attracted by women or lust will make sure that you will be convinced by his association to never see faults in that opposite sex. Because if a man directly sees, tendency is to see the faults also. But a person who is lusty will never project the faults. A lusty person will always, you know, rule out all the faults and will make you focus on the pleasure part. So more dangerous than directly associating with the opposite sex is associating with those who are fond of opposite sex. Are you able to connect this now? When in your college, you are hanging out with your male friends. Nowadays you never know. Yeah, nowadays things are becoming so perverted. You never know. You are hanging out with your male friends and you are thinking that, you know, I'm not associating with any lusty activities. What to speak of now? You know, when I was, how many years ago? 22 years ago. There was a gay person who physically attacked, wanted to engage in sex. And I was totally shocked. That was like, you know, the greatest shock of my life. I didn't even realize that there is something like this existing. It's 22 years ago. And then one of my friends, he said, kaun si duniya mein bhai? So we were going for a tournament, we were sitting in the flight, and he was next to me. And I said, okay, I trust you, you sit next to me. Because I was just, you know, that shock from which I had come out, so I was very careful, extra careful. So he, I didn't realize, as the flight took off, you know, he was giggling, smiling, and then he started to like kind of murmur a song. Bas yahi aparad main har baar karta hoon, aadmi hoon, aadmi se pyaar karta. And initially, I didn't realize that, you know, what is the implied meaning of this song. And he was like, ta-na-na-na-na, bas yahi aparad, aadmi hoon, aadmi se pyaar. So he said, this is, you know, this is the Mahamantra of homosexuals. So, now you going to college over there, you might be thinking that, you know, I'm not looking at any women, I'm not looking at any girls, you know, all my professors, lecturers, they are all also, you know, oldies, men, you know, unattractive. In fact, you know, they help me renounce. But even some of your friends who are unrestrictedly attracted towards the girls, if you hang out with them, according to our scriptures, this equation, it's more dangerous than that. Ab iska matlab ye nahi hai. Achha, ye jyada dangerous hai. To chalo fir udhar main kam dangerous. This doesn't justify that. So Ravan, his actual, you know, that lust which was there, he was all full of lust. He was full of it. It was not that, you know, he was like a very innocent guy and Surpakana spoiled him. No, he was already a spoiled brat. And what Surpanaka did was, the fire was already on. Surpanaka came with a gallon, a barrel full of petrol, ale, like that. So, herein, this is very important, the reasons, you know, we must have heard of the victims herein. These are all very common classic victims. But the reasons are very careful. We have to be very, very careful about the reasons, you know, that what we see, what we hear, and of course, how can we miss out on Ajamil? Now, Ajamil, he didn't plan to see this prostitute embracing a man. He didn't plan it out. It accidentally came in front of him. He accidentally saw it. And look what happened to him. What happened to him? He saw it just for a brief, it was momentary. For few brief moments he saw it. But then he contemplated on it. Whatever he saw, he contemplated. That's how the mind works. Whatever you hear, whatever you see, your mind is going to project it later on, sometime when it's not in front of you. So what's happening? Teenagers in India, especially college going, living in hostels, pornography. It's so rampant, it's so common. In fact, when I was in Bombay preaching, practically every other student would come with this addiction. Prabhuji, what to do? I'm addicted, I can't live without it. I can't live without watching it. And I feel that the more I watch, the more I feel pacified. See how the mind will convince you. And whenever there is a gap in not seeing, my mind becomes very restless and my mind becomes more lusty, more agitated. And then when I see it, I feel I'm now satisfied. What's happening is that it's like, you know, the logic is, I told him, it's like you are feeding meat to a tiger and expecting that one day the tiger will become a vegetarian. क्यों? क्योंकि उसको भूख लगती है तो उसको मांस ही खाना, तो उसको मांस खिला खिला के मैं उसको एक दिन बिठा के, मांस खाने के बाद पूरा उसका पेट भर जाएगा, किसका? शेर का पेट भर जाएगा मांस खाने के बाद. फिर मैं उसको बिठा के मैं उसको समझाऊंगा, देख शेर, मांस नहीं खाना चाहिए, हाँ पालक खाना चाहिए. सो समटाइम्स यू नो द माइंड व्हेन इट गिव्स दिस जस्टिफिकेशन दैट बाय वॉचिंग ऑल दैट नॉनसेंस स्टफ ऑन इंटरनेट, you know, I'll not be so much agitated, like how I'm agitated if I'm not seeing all that. It's like adding fuel to such an extent that if you put a huge mound of fuel or butter on fire, for a while the fire might be appearing to be doused, but it's just a fraction of moments, and then you see the conflagration coming up like anything. So, hearing, seeing, and then, experiencing that, and then getting convinced, and then it comes to a point that you feel that it's almost impossible, you know, I've gone into this rut, it's impossible for me to come out, so I might as well give in to it. Like one philosopher said, when rape is inevitable, relax and enjoy. Now this is called the extent of being demoniac. When rape is inevitable, relax and enjoy. What else can you do? So herein, the eight stages of lust. In fact, we will discuss this later on. We have a small video on this internet dating. Lot of internet dating is going on.
That all men are created equal.
was the boy. Did you get it? It was the boy trying to portray as the girl. So, the point is that there is one thing which is called reality, and the other is the perceived reality. What do you understand by this? Reality and perceived reality. Perceived reality is the modern term for Maya or illusion. Maya means that which is not. And perceived reality means to imagine that which is not. So, what happens is, nowadays when teenagers are so much, you know, exposed to the sexual content, you know, through words, sites, you know, discussions and all that, what's happening is that it's all getting stored in the subconscious, and then what the subconscious mind does it, just like what it did to Ajamil. Now, Ajamil, when he saw, he actually that time, he knew that she is a prostitute and that man is a low-class Shudra. He is a low-class man and she is a low-class woman. He knew that. So, when he saw that, but what made him fall down was what happened later on. What happened later on was that when he projected that particular prostitute as his wife, as the object of his enjoyment, just like over here, you know, he saw a photo and then he was imagining and he thought that, okay, even if she is not so pretty looking, still, you know, there is nothing else to do, so let's date with her. And the actual reality was something else on the other side. On the other monitor, the reality was something else. So when teenagers are looking at those sites in the internet, so what they portray is something else, which is all made up, perceived reality. And then we consider it as reality. And then the subconscious mind thinks that, you know, it appears to be so pleasurable, it appears to be so healthy, it appears to be so gratifying, so satisfying. Yes, the Hare Krishnas, they talk about Golok Vrindavan and the bliss and Satchidanand and all that stuff, but right now I'm getting all this over here. In a very easy fashion. It's like Ajamil, who started to make, you know, palaces in air. Khwabi pulav, jisko bolte na, wo sab banana shuru kiya. And slowly, Ajamil fell prey so much to such an extent that he couldn't get back to the right track until Yamadutas came. So the point over here, we'll conclude tonight with this. That the victims which we discussed about, Saubari Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, Ravan and Ajamil. The reasons, focus on the reasons, what made them into victims. The reasons remain the same even now, 2015, Kali Yuga. We might think, well, those things happened in bygone ages to them. But now, you know, our reasons might be different. The reasons remain the same because the lust remains the same. That's the material world. The times may change. The characters might change. But the principles remain the same. The principles of pure love for Godhead remains the same. The principles for lust remains the same. So this is universal principles which we have to understand and then apply in our lives. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions anyone has? So next time we'll discuss on further aspects of the five arrows of the Cupid. You have something? Yeah.
Prabhuji. Prabhuji, when we, are you able to hear me?
Not that clear.
When we talk about association,
yeah.
Just physical proximity with someone, can we count that as association? Because as you told, even if we are like from the morning, if we have attended the morning program and chanted a Mahaprasad mantra, having Kishti and sitting in the college or at your workplace, wherever, still your mind contemplates on different things because people around you are not naishtik brahmachari or not following celibacy. So just physical proximity with someone, can we count it as association?
Yeah. That's what I was talking about, the subliminal effect. You see, the subliminal effect is, you know, the vibrations of that particular place. Like it is said that the power of Sankirtan is, if in a place Sankirtan has been performed sincerely, even if the Sankirtan devotees have left, and much later somebody visits that place, will have some effect of that Sankirtan in a subliminal way. And the same stands for the opposite.
He says that physical proximity is not association. He usually gave the example of a fly sitting on a spiritual master's body. That fly is looking at it as a potential food. So if that fly is sitting on a spiritual master's body, that doesn't mean that it is association. Association is basically exchange of emotions. That is where the desire develops.
That is right. Say for example, if I am traveling in a bus, and the person sitting next to me, I might not even know him. Who is he? I might not know anything about that person. But herein, yes, the person, I might not know, I might not get affected in a very, very gross way because of that person sitting next to me, because I am not consciously thinking about that person. I am not consciously taking his association on a subtle platform. But because physically that person is sitting next to me, if that person is having a certain vibrations of a certain lifestyle, it will affect me even in a minuscule way, insignificant way. It will add on to something which I don't want. Just like, you know, the example of a non-smoker, a passive smoker. He is not smoking the cigarette, but still there is some effect which is coming. So why, you know, when you sit in the temple and chant, it helps you, it, you know, supports you, augments your chanting, because all around the vibrations are holy. And the Mahamantra is the same, Yuga Dharma is the same, there are no hard and fast rule. But you take the same beadwax, sit in a nightclub, and you might say, well, I am not consciously taking association of these people here in the nightclub. But are you that advanced? The question is, are you that advanced that you will not get affected and you will still be absorbed consciously in the holy names in spite of whatever is around you? Like this morning, the Bhagavatam purport, Prabhupada says that there are certain places wherein materialistic people, they create those places in such a way which will arouse one's sexual appetite. Today's Bhagavatam purport we read. So the places are created to arouse the sexual appetite. So yes, what you are saying will hold true for someone like Haridas Thakur, who is so advanced, someone like Shukadeva Goswami or Prabhupada, who can be in a place like New York, the most degraded of all places, and yet be transcendental, not get affected.
Then Prabhuji, in such case, what is the hope? Because most of the times, people at workplace or in their colleges, they are associating with all the materialistic people. And most of the times, in that way, we will perpetuate our misery.
Well, the hope is that whenever you are over there, you should feel as if fish out of water. Have you seen when fish is out of water, how it flaps, tadapti hui rehti hai, kiske liye? Phir se pani mein jane ke liye. So, a devotee, wherever, say college or these kind of nasty places or workplaces, wherein you know that it's all surrounded by lusty environment all around you, your consciousness should be fish out of water. So, if you are in that consciousness, then you will always keep flapping, and even if there is a little water around, you will flap and go and slide towards that water. That's what the fish does. So that should be the consciousness. Yes, you know, you can't change your workplace. You can't make them into devotees overnight. Huh? That's not possible. So therefore, keep coming back and getting yourself recharged. And you know, then going back, and before you get discharged, keep something. You know, always nowadays, you know, you can use the same internet to become Krishna conscious. You can keep listening to something. You can keep seeing something. You know, always keep yourself connected to something which will act as an antidote. And there is no substitute to again coming back into the physical association of devotees. And then realizing that what it takes to be outside. One good thing we'll be discussing later on is, if you are in that association and if you are feeling uneasy, uncomfortable, it's a good sign. If you are feeling comfortable, are chalo, abhi thoda idhar bhi maja kar lete. That is the sign, that is, you know, the alarm should ring. That's dangerous. If you are feeling some discomfort over there, yes, which means you are consciously with the devotees. That won't affect them so much. But it will to some extent, but not to that extent. Yeah, you had something?
I want to know, sir, Prabhuji, what is the actual difference between love and lust? What is love, love and lust? What I actually require to cut off lust from my life?
Yeah, our scriptures explain, you have gold and you have iron. Both are metals. But lust is like iron, love is like gold. So love means when you are loving your beloved selflessly. And what is lust? Lust, it primarily talks about, you know, the sexual part between man and woman. So in that, if the consciousness is that the man is wanting oneself, himself to be gratified using the female body, and the female body wants herself to be gratified using the male body, that's pure lust. That's pure lust. Which means, which is on a physical platform, that one is engaging in that act to get physically gratified, you know, as far as oneself is concerned. That is lust. And love is that one is trying to give all the pleasure to the other person without any expectation for one's own gratification. That is pure love. Huh? That's called unconditional. Anything else? Okay, so thank you all very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Any announcements? So there is, no, there is dinner for everyone?
Yeah.
Okay, so. Mahaprasade Govinde.
Mahaprasade Govinde.
Nama Brahmani Vaishnava.